Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to our broadcast this morning. We hope you'll become a regular listener each Sunday morning at this time as we endeavor to give you some messages of truth. We also invite you to watch our TV program that airs right after this broadcast from 8 to 8:30 a.m. on public access channel number 6 on your television, entitled Searching the Scriptures. Please give a look. I think you'll find it very encouraging and very edifying. We also want to invite you to a special series of lessons that begins today at the Harrisburg Church of Christ, with our guest speaker being Mo Haefeli from Danville, Indiana. Brother Haefeli will be true to the book. He will preach those things that are contained in God's Word. If you have any questions, you have any concerns, or you would like to question him about things that are presented, or you have any Bible questions, Brother Haefeli would be more than happy to explain those things to you in a better and more understanding way. We will be meeting Monday through Friday from 7 p.m. each night, Monday through Friday at 7 p.m. Our regular service times on Sunday, which will be given at the end of this broadcast, and Brother Haefeli will be speaking at the 10:30 and 6:30 time frame on the Lord's Day. So we invite you to come out today or any night this week and come out and study God's Word with us. We hope that you'll take this opportunity for this feast of spiritual food. We would also ask, at the end of this broadcast, you'll be given the times of our regular meeting times at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. We cordially invite you to any or all of those services. You'll always be warmly received. Today, we continue our study of overview of the Bible. We're in the book of Hebrews. In chapter 12, we're going to conclude our studying the book of Hebrews this morning, looking at briefly chapter 12 and chapter 13. After going through the great hall of fame of Bible characters who acted upon faith and received commendation from God, he begins chapter 12, "Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." After making a reference back to the great cloud of witnesses that we previously studied in Hebrews chapter 11, he encourages us to lay aside the sin. Sin is what weighs man down. Sin is what separates a man from God, Isaiah chapter 59, 1 and 2. So we need to rid ourselves of sin and then rid ourselves of being so easily ensnared by Satan, and we need to run with endurance the race that's set before us. We need to keep our eye and focus on the race of life and keep our focus on Jesus. Why? He's the author and the finisher of our faith, and we can have extreme confidence in him, in his ability to help us and fulfilling the promises that he made to us by knowing that he endured the cross. He despised the shame. And he overcame it when he was resurrected from the dead, and now he's at the right hand of God. And so we need to keep our faith and focus upon him before he can lead us to where we want to go, and that's to be in his home in heaven for all eternity. We also see in verses 5 through 11, he talks about chastening. He says, "And you have not forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as sons. My sons, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as sons, for what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, then you are all have become partakers, and you are illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more ready be in subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chastened us as it seemed best to them, he for our profit, and that we may be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening seems to be joyful at the present, but painful nevertheless. Afterwards, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it." In these verses, it talks about the chastening and the rebuking of God. There are times when we need to be corrected. There are times that we are going in the wrong direction. We are doing things that are contrary to God's will. We are doing things that are separating us from God because we are committing sin. God loves us. He doesn't want us to be lost. He doesn't want us to get sidetracked. He doesn't want us to be able to fall away from the truth. There are many who teach that you cannot, but these passages would suggest that you can, because you need God chastens us, so that may not happen. He corrects us. And notice, we allowed our fathers in a human sense when we were under their roof, and they corrected us and chastened us and disciplined us when we did things that were contrary to the things that they wanted us to do in their home. And we respected that, and we subjected ourselves to that. So why should we not more readily subject ourselves to the chastening and the discipline of God when we find ourselves out of step with His Word and out of step in committing sin? We need to repent of it. We need to turn from it. And as he says in verse 11, it's not pleasant when you're going through it at the time. Nobody likes to be wrong. Nobody likes to be corrected, and nobody likes to be rebuked. But if we accept the correction, if we accept the rebuke, we make the necessary change, we repent of our conduct, we change our behavior, then it's going to bring about a peaceable fruit of righteousness. And so chastening and discipline is something that's done for our benefit. It's in order to make us better. It's in order to prepare us for eternity. We also see in this chapter that he gives some personal instructions. Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Verse 14. Look carefully lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springs up, cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. Notice again the instruction that we need to pursue peace. There's things that we need to do. And we need to be people of holiness. And the Bible says, if we're not that kind of people, that we will not see the Lord. Holy just simply means set apart for the special work that God gave us to do. And we can fall short of God's grace. How can we do that? By allowing bitterness to spring up in us. And that will cause trouble. And so we need to be careful not to let that happen. And then he gives an illustration in verse 16. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person like Esau, who for one morsel of food sold his birthright. For you know that afterwards, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place for repentance, though he sought it diligently with tears. You see, he sold his birthright. Why? Because he didn't appreciate it. He didn't understand the value of it. And he sold it. And then when he wanted to inherit the blessings, he did not receive it. Why? Because he had not repented. And so again, we need to remain in this covenant relationship with God by being obedient and faithful to the instructions of God in order that we might receive our spiritual reward. He then, in the latter part of the chapter, down in verse 22, he says, but you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven, to God the judge of all men, to the spirits of just men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the blood sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel's, so that you do not refuse him who speaks. For if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on the earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven. Again, this is giving the spiritual insight into the hope of heaven, the living city of God, the heavenly Jerusalem. And it says, to those who are registered in heaven. And the spirits of just men, men that are obedient, men that are faithful, men that are diligent in following God's word. And he makes the argument in verse 25, if those who did not keep the law, the first law, and they did not escape, who refused him who spoke on earth, men like Moses and the prophets, and they were punished when they disobeyed them, how are we going to escape if we do not serve and be faithful to the living God? To ask the question, to answer it. We will not escape. We will endure punishment. And then verse 28 and 29 says, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably, with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. You know, everybody wants to talk about the love of God, and that's indeed true. His mercy, His love, His grace, He's long-suffering. All of those attributes are true. But there's also another side to God, his wrath. And his wrath will be poured out on those who have not lived acceptable lives, those who have been disobedient, those who have not loved him, those who have not obeyed him. Please read 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7 through 9. And then we're told in the 13th chapter that we need to let brotherly love continue. One of the examples of that is that we should not forget to entertain strangers, for in doing this, some have unwillingly entertain angels. Now, we have an example of that back in Genesis chapter 18, but we're to remember the stranger. We're to remember those who are less fortunate than us. Verse 4, marriage is honorable among all, and the bed undefiled, but fornicators and adulterers God will judge. Marriage is an honorable estate. Anything, any sexual relationship outside of marriage is sinful, and God will judge those who participate in such actions but do not repent. And then some very comforting verses in verse 5 and 6. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can men do to me? God has promised. This is a promise from God that he will never leave us, that he will never forsake us, that he will always be there. And then we can have the confidence and we can have the trust that he's our helper and we don't need to fear. And what can men do to me? They can take my life, but they can't make me lose my crown unless I commit sin and I don't repent and I don't stay faithful to God. Again, God has promised to never forsake us, but we can forsake God. And if we forsake God, then we will have to answer to him in the judgment. And then in verse 9, he warns them, do not be carried about with various and strange doctrines. For it is good that the heart be established by grace, not with foods which have not profited those who have been occupied with them. Again, they were those trying to bind the old covenant and new covenant. That's one of the reasons this book was written, is to demonstrate that the new covenant gave us great advantages, and going back to the old covenant would be giving up every advantage that we had in Christ. And he calls those things strange doctrines because they are no longer binding. Read Colossians chapter 2, verse 14, and Matthew 5. Verse number 17. Therefore, verse 14, for we have no continuing city, but we seek for one to come. Therefore, by him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to him. But do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Obey those who have the rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls. As those who must give an account, let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would not be profitable for you. Again, in these verses, he's telling us to keep our faith and our focus on the continuing city, the heavenly city. And he's telling us that we ought to continually offer to God sacrifice. That's the praise of our lips. How do we do that? By giving thanks to his name, by being thankful, by being grateful for all the things that God gives us. And then he makes in verse 17, to make sure that we submit ourselves to the oversight of elders in the Lord's church. Why? Because they rule our souls. They watch over for our souls. And in the end, they must give an account in what kind of job they did as they guarded the welfare of our souls. Hebrews is a very powerful book. We need to learn the lessons of that book, and we need to apply them by being faithful and obedient to the things that God says. Thank you for listening. Come be with us this week in our meeting. Have a good day, and we hope to tune in again next Lord's Day.